Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on Just Ball Things. Injuries, injuries everywhere, from the Warriors to the Celtics. We'll be discussing who's had it worse. Are these injuries going to affect the Warriors' playoff chances? Do the Celtics' injuries ensure an early playoff exit for them? And Kyrie Irving's knee injury has got us all asking, how worried should we actually be? And DBS is back as we rank some of the worst teams in the NBA. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. With me today from the ever sunny London, England, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Nick, do you like look up the weather every time you do the introduction, or do you just assume that it's sunny and you're being very facetious?
I assume that it's sunny in London, which it never is. It's irony, well, Jack.
It's not really irony. It's not irony.
Let's not
get into the definition of irony. I think Alanis Morissette did that enough for us.
Jeremy,
what's your name, mate?
Irons.
You do your thing.
Jeremy.
What's your name?
Iron. My name is Nick Busink. And yes. Mate, my yes. under 10s, under 12s, I don't even know what they are. I think they're under 12s. My under
12s. You should probably know their ages, Nicholas.
My under 12s basketball team had a thrilling semi-final on Saturday.
Where are you now?
I was at work, so I had it literally explained to me by our co-coach. I'd like to think of him as an assistant coach. But I think,
well, you weren't even there, so clearly he's the coach.
I mean, I guess he was the main coach. But he called me and he explained it play by play.
Love it.
And just, yeah, thrilling stuff. Went to OT. The boys dug deep. And they got that W. So we're in the granny now.
You went to the... I like it. For those that granny. Don't know what a granny is, it's the finals, basically.
No, they're inside your grandmother. I'm kidding. These are 12-year-old boys.
All right, yeah, fair enough then. What's the version of the Larry O'Brien Trophy for the under-12s Western Division League?
That's an excellent question, mate. I don't know. Larry Weston? I don't think it's got a name. But if I don't win Coach of the Year, I'm gonna be human.
Funnily enough, for those that follow us on OTG Basketball at OTG Basketball, OTGBasketball.com, we did come out with our roundtable early in the week of the best coaches who, and I was part of the roundtable. I voted for Dwayne Casey. You know, it's on the OTG Twitter page. Give a vote in the poll as well. But leading into, hey, we actually talked about basketball in our intro. We can actually have a nice segue here.
What? That's crazy. All right,
so for those who are new, this we are doing to do the JBT Music Memoir Scale. For those who are new, this is a JBT scale created by us. Sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, straight up fact. I'm not going to explain it. If you don't know it by now, or if you're new to the podcast, you know, you'll figure it out. But Nick, what's our first one?
It's quite damning when we have to keep explaining it, but we'll get there. The injuries for the Warriors are worrisome for the fans and the franchise's championship hopes. Now, the Warriors have taken some blows, taken some licks, definitely, over the past few weeks. We've got Klay Thompson's thumb injury, obviously Curry's ankles. Draymond Green sat out for a little bit. I'm not sure I think that was only minor.
He's
back. So, and now KD's gone down for 10 to 12. Or how long was it for?
Two to four weeks.
I added 10 weeks there, so my mistake.
That would have been very worse if Warriors fans.
But yeah, he's gone down himself. So Jack, where are you chucking this one?
So I'm going to give this wiki, Nick, because To be a straight up fact, I would have to be in full on worry mode. Now I'm concerned. I am quite concerned, but concern and worry are two different things. Now you can't for the Warriors to be legit in the West because it's the strongest that it's ever been. We know the Houston Rockets, Portland are doing nice things. Utah are now in the fifth position. You know, and the Thunder are always a worry for them. So they're going to have to be close to 100% healthy. I don't think they can win the championship without, say, Steph Curry or KD at 100% full fitness. If they're, you know, 90% and, you know, they've got one of their stars out, I think there's a legit shot that they could be out of the playoff picture. Now, Klay is expected to be back within a week or two. KD apparently is a two-week injury, so he should be back just before the end of the season. And Steph's obviously having his niggling moments with the ankles, which we talked about last week in last week's show. So I think that's something to worry about as well. So I want to give this a wiki because, you know, and they're getting even injuries to their depth players. Amari Caspi, I think, got an injury a game or two ago. So they're very depleted. And to be fair, their depth hasn't been great and tested. And when they have been tested, you know, Quinn Cook and Nick Young can only do so much. You know, Draymond Green, you know, holding down the offense. That's not something you want happening on a regular basis, especially come the playoffs. So, you know, I'm putting this a wiki because things are getting worried out in Golden State, but they are still the favorites in my eyes. What do you got for me, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, they're still the Warriors. It's like how we don't discount the Cavs out in when the playoffs start because it's a different beast. They're a different beast in the playoffs.
But health.
However, this is what I'm going to give this one. I think about the same for you. A Wikipedia fact. I am quite concerned with the Warriors' chances to even get to the final. Houston, like you said, the West is the best it's ever potentially ever been. The Golden State Warriors in the past five games are 18th in defense.
That's a damning stat.
This is not the Golden State Warriors that we know and love. I think they're 12th in offense as well. They're 12th in offense. You look at the season and they're first. Yeah. So this is they're first or second. This is how much ahead they are. I think come the end of the season, they've taken the foot off the gas. They're resting some players, and obviously some are injured as well. They're getting ready for the finals. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But this unstoppable force that they have been, I think that they needed to keep playing to this agenda. It's almost like a mental battle. Because teams know,
Joe's mentioned that.
Exactly. Like, they lost to the Kings. Was it the Kings? It was someone's shit.
It was the Kings, but to be fair, you know, Buddy Hield was the star of that game, and I'm not sure how many times we'll say that outside of an exhibition game in the All-Star weekend. But before we move on, give me your most important player to the Warriors' playoff and championship hopes. Is it KD? Is it Steph?
It's Steph.
Is it Klay?
100% Steph.
Okay, yeah.
Steph makes this team. He's the engine behind this team. KD.
We saw a few years ago when he wasn't at full health that LeBron James and Kyrie took full advantage of that. You know, KD was injured I think last season going into the playoffs, but you know, just before the playoffs, and he, you know, got back to full health, won the playoff MVP. So, yeah, I think Steph is the right one, Nicholas. But another team that's sort of knocking on the playoffs right now is the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I heard this on a Ringer podcast that the Wolves should trade Andrew Wiggins. Now, for those that haven't been following, the rumblings early in the week are that Andrew Wiggins is unhappy as being the third option. I think it was reported, and I quote, whispers. So I'm like, well, what are they doing? Like, who's hearing the whispers? Do they have like a really powerful microphone? Like, how are the whispers? Is he whispering it to like, hey, cat, I don't like being the third option. Cat. I don't know if you can hear that on the podcast. But Nick, this for me has some legitimacy to it because, you know, Jimmy Butler comes back, you know, Andrew Wiggins' role reconfigures back to that third option. You know, he's been playing some nice basketball, not outstanding. And, you know, he's becoming a max player. And I think he certainly, I've advocated, I think, for this before. I'm not sure if it was on JBT or an outlet with OTG, but I don't see Andrew Wiggins, like, I don't know why he would be so upset. I posted on my Twitter page, like, dude, you're going to be making a max contract. Just do what you do well, and you'll try to get better at defense. So I'm going to give this a wiki. No, in fact, no, I think that's a bit too much. I'm going to give it a Twitter, because I think they're going to have to give Jimmy Butler a max as well. If they want to keep him long-term. Now, he may not age as well as, say, a Karl Anthony Towns or someone else, but Kat's going to be owed a max soon enough as well. So there's certainly a lot of juggling balls there, Nicholas. So what do you think of this? Is this too hot takey for you?
I think I'm not too sure that Wiggins will have the great flourishment. That's not a word, but we'll use it.
Flourishment? No, it's a word.
Okay,
a word.
Well, there you go. Like I'm smarter than I thought. Is not going to reach his full potential at the being the third guy. I think he is a magnificent player, and I see a lot of sort of Victor Oladipo's career about it.
Interesting.
A high pick that was sort of stagnant for a bit. Moved to OKC and was just like, okay, he's not getting better. Yeah. And then when that move to Indiana happened, obviously he's an all-star and he has become a legitimate star in this league. I see similar numbers in their points. Like, he's still averaging 18 points a game, being the third string guy.
But they're empty numbers, Nick, for me. Like, it's they're not impactful numbers. Like, you can have someone like an Andre Roberson who averages 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, but his impact when he's on the court, like his plus minus numbers, are huge. Same with Marcus Smart. They might not get the numbers, and their box score may not look pretty. Andrew Wiggins puts up nice box scores, but they're empty stats. I like your comparison there to Victor Oladipo. But one thing that I don't see happening with Wiggins is that he doesn't have an all-round skill set that Oladipo has. Oladipo is a great defender. He's one of the best steelers in the game. Highly athletic. Andrew Wiggins has the athleticism and is one of the most athletic players in the game.
He's got the athleticism and he's got the length. Like, there's no reason why
he doesn't use it though.
Yeah, but it might not be through no fault of his own. Defensive systems could not suit certain players. You know, he was drafted because he had tremendous length and tremendous athleticism. Obviously, people thought and could see, I don't know how he was in college, I don't follow college ball, could see some sort of defensive prowess in him. I mean, people were likening him to Kevin Durant.
He was called the Maple Jordan, so because he's from Canada. So take with that what you will, but there is no... we're always full of hyperbolic statements when it comes to guys in the draft, and especially with March Madness kicking off right now, which Nick and I are not going to be talking about because we have absolutely no idea what happens there. Why are they so mad in March? March is a fine month.
Sure.
But maybe it should be March happiness. But the alliteration, I respect. But a guy who might be a little bit mad himself, Nicholas. Hey, that wasn't too bad. Thomas, recent Laker. He needs to realign how he views himself. Now, this one is via... He was speaking to the media, and he was asked about where he sees himself. So he spoke to USA Today's Sam Amick, and he says, I'm not no six man, and I won't be a six man in the future. I just want everybody to know that, like, clear as can be. I'm a two-time All-Star and a starter who has done things a lot people in this league haven't done when given that opportunity. Nick, is IT Isaiah Thomas, IT4, does he need to change how he's thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
he does. Yeah. Hashtag fact. So, like, there's no question about it. I completely admire and understand that it is a mentality like the one that he has that made him so... that got him into this league. It essentially got him into this league. Everyone...
Last pick.
Exactly. Yep. Everyone in his whole career would have been telling him, you can't do this. And I respect and admire everything he has done in his career so far. At Boston, he was amazing. I personally, well, not personally, well, I watched it on TV, if that counts as personal. I have had the personal effect of him ruining my dreams. He has stabbed me in the heart with that Celtic Many Wizard times. Series.
Many times.
So there is no reason why he can't be an absolutely amazing player. But he needs to be the number one on the team. And so there's nothing wrong with what he's saying. But if he wants to continue a career at the Lakers, he needs to step back and just be like, hey, I am not the future of this franchise. You know, but Lonzo is. So
yeah, and
he needs to realize that.
I think, yeah, you make a good point, Nick. And I think it's not just the Lakers. I think it's the NBA as a whole. You know, we heard all of his comments about backing up the Brinks truck, you know, wanting that max contract.
Mm.
Now, things change and can change very quickly in today's NBA. Now, I think what Isaiah's future role in the NBA is a Lou Williams type, an absolutely dynamic force off the bench that ends up playing still 35 minutes. You know, he might come off the bench. You know, J.R. Smith was, you know, fuming at the fact that he's having to come off the bench. I don't understand what the difference is if you're still getting the minutes. I'm not sure what it is that, you know, affects these players so much.
Ego. It's 100% an ego thing.
It is. But I think Isaiah has the talent, and we saw him, he built himself up from being a sixth man out in Sacramento, where he started to start, out in Phoenix, and then out in Boston where he started, and then, you know, he saw the team sort of being built around him before being traded to the Cavaliers, where I still think he could have been a nice sixth man over there. You know, in LA, you know, Luke Walton has coached him very well. He's been underrated in his coaching, and I'm sure we'll get to the Lakers, plenty of Lakers talk in future shows, if not today. But I think he needs to realign his views and keep that mentality, like you said, but also go, look, if I'm just going to do what I can. If I'm coming off the bench, you know, I'm going to make you give me 35 minutes a night. So I think, you know, there's no reason why he can't be an all-star again. I think it's unlikely. But look at Lou Williams. Lou Williams was borderline all-star. And if Jimmy Butler, you know, actually gave up his spot, and it would have been Lou Williams to take anyway. Mm. But a team on the rise, Nicholas, a team that, you know, you had some nice success over, and, you know, there's a nice little rivalry going there, is the Indiana Pacers. Are they the biggest overachievers? Indiana Pacers the biggest overachievers in the league this season? Now, a little mini stat for you. The Pacers are now 10-1 in games decided by 3 or fewer points, and that was as of the 14th of March, so a few days ago. Now, they're over-under totals as well. So, did you expect this team to make the playoffs, just quickly?
No. No one did.
Yeah.
No one did.
No.
At
all. And, like... They were projected before the season for 31.5 wins. The Orlando Magic were projected for more. The Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Pistons were all projected to have more wins than them. And now this Indiana Pacers team is looking at possibly a home playoff series, which is absolutely outstanding. And a credit to, you know, not only Victor Oladipo, but Nate McMillan, Kevin Pritchard, and all the front office and coaching staff. This is a hashtag fact for me, Nick. I'm not sure what you've got. What do you got?
Well, you use this term overachieving, and it makes them sound like, and that little stat as well, how they're 10-1 in 3 points. What, you think they're getting lucky? You think they're 10-1 on luck? Like,
no, I'm saying
I don't quite understand your point.
The stat is to back up the fact that they are quality in crunch time when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it meant. And I mean, you can look at it both ways, and you can say that, yes, I've got lucky, because, you know, I could advocate for my Brooklyn Nets that they've been, you know, a bit poor in crunch time, and that the calls haven't gone our way. And that's why, you know, we're in the position that we are. Whereas the Pacers know how to grind out the wins. And right now they're battling with your Wizards for the fourth spot. And your Wizards had a really nice win last night. Sure you are heavily happy about that. But they were 31.5 wins, Nicholas, projected for 31.5 wins. They are right now, and it's not even the end of the season, at 40 wins already. That's over almost 10 wins of a projected win standing. That's huge. That's absolutely massive.
Yes, but that was all dependent on things like, okay, well, no Paul George, they've got no superstar. They've got a superstar now. I mean, this is preseason thinking. We're thinking, oh, DeMontis Sabonis and Victor Oladipo, one all right player and one below average player, and they have both overachieved in that first instance. But you can't call it overachieving now. That's who this they've cemented themselves. Like this pre-season, is the players. This is the players that they are. So to say that Indiana Pacers are the biggest overachievers in the league, probably not. Because now they've established who they are, and they are definitely an over 500 team.
I agree with you. But if we're going by, like, you know, projected wins going into the preseason, they're the biggest surprise to me, hence why they're my
the
biggest
surprise, definitely. But I'm giving this a hashtag alternative fact, because you're worded it wrong.
All right, fair enough. But other teams that I'll chuck out here in terms of the over-unders, Toronto Raptors were projected to have 48.5 wins. Now, they're on pace for 60, or maybe even 65, so you could make an argument for the fact that they've overachieved already elite standards. You know, you could say even a team like the Utah Jazz, you know, losing Gordon Hayward, projected for 40.5 wins. Now, they're not going to exceed that highly. So I think for me, it's the Raptors or the Pacers for me that are two of the biggest overachievers. But a team that also has been hit by injury and has been overachieving despite those injuries is the Boston Celtics. So, Nick, I put to you, the Boston Celtics injuries, recent injuries, capped their ceiling at an Eastern Conference Finals at best this season.
They I mean, this was always the case. I thought this before the season even started. You know, people had projected them at number one. Okay, fair enough. No one saw the Raptors doing what they're doing. Props to them. But the Cavs were always stopping Celtics. This was preseason, okay? And now it seems like there's a new adversary that can stop them before hitting the finals. That's why when Hayward went down and people were saying, oh, he could be back for playoffs. No, I have been like that from the start. Do not bring him back. Even if he's healthy, what good does it achieve?
Yeah, exactly.
This wasn't their year. Next year may possibly not be their year either. They're more likely. I think they should still try for next year to actually win the championship. But this year was never going to be their year. They've gotten rid of too many pieces. New pieces have come in. You've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two very, very green guys. Green as in like they're like greenhorns. They're fresh.
All right.
They're rookies.
They also wear green.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. That works well, Nicole.
Double intendery. You heard me.
I agree.
I my spiel's done. You go, mate.
All right, good. Because you make good points about the fact that, you know, where their ceiling was preseason anyway. We talked about with the Pacers. You know, that early season hot form wasn't going to last. And now I think that these injuries are really going to hurt them. You know, Marcus Smart, you know, very doubtful to come back. You know, Woj just reported. Daniel Tice, who for me has been a really nice, you know, rotation piece. You know, he provides some nice juice off the bench. You know, nice energy piece. Jaylen Brown has suffered some concussion. And now even their star, Kyrie Irving, is missing time due to knee soreness. And we will get to some more Kyrie Irving news, because that for me is the most worrisome thing, not only short-term for the Celtics' success, but long-term. So I agree, this is a hashtag fact. But they could surprise us, because they're a highly, very, very well-coached team. But
yeah, well, it's that sort of drilled nature that will help them surpass these injury woes. Exactly. So it's a hashtag fact for me as well.
Yeah. But we mentioned his name just then. Now, Kyrie Irving's knee injury is not just worrisome for Boston short-term, but it's worry for Boston long-term. So Have you heard about what this knee injury is?
This is all coming out after Danny Ainge has said that this could be an injury that he has to manage across his whole career.
That's huge.
Which is quite damning.
Yes.
Well, I mean, what more is there to say? I mean, well, like, we're not doctors. We've seen injuries like... We've seen this come from him in the past. And when your GM... Who really shouldn't be... He shouldn't be divulging this sort of information.
No.
He really shouldn't. But the fact that someone so high up the food chain is saying this... I mean, it would be different if a bloody Nick Wright said it. It could be something...
Stephen A. Smith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
he has to manage across his whole career. Fair enough. But you're, the GM of your team is coming out and saying this. That is that is quite worrisome. This is a hashtag fact for me. Because there is, definitely something Kyrie Irving, there.
Because also, Kyrie Irving was picked up, you know, the Celtics were managing those assets, you know, the Boston pick, the Brooklyn pick, you know, and they finally made that big splash going in on Kyrie. I agree with the move, but if Kyrie's going to have these long-term issues with his knee, it's certainly troubling because, you know, for a guy of his ilk and his skill set, you know, the way he twists and turns around the court, his agility, you know, he's going to need some healthy knees going forward. I'm not sure why Danny Ainge would come out and say it, like you mentioned. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think, you know, it may be used as fuel for the fire for a lot of opposing teams. If they have that inside information, they could target him in the pick and roll even further, you know, try to sort of test that knee, if you will. The fact that it has to be managed across his career and can't be sort of gotten back to full health is, to me, the worrying thing.
Mm.
You know, is Kyrie Irving going to be playing for the next 10 years, or is it only going to be a 5-year proposition?
Well, like, you get him now when you've got peak Kyrie. Like, this is peak Kyrie we're seeing at the moment. And, like, if we're taking out the health, mental and physical health of Kyrie Irving, now is the best time to have him. And now is their press for championships for the Celtics. So, in terms of this sort of short-term period, over maybe the next 2-3 years of successful playoff bouts, if they go grab it, then I don't think there's a problem. But over the next 5 years, then this knee injury could become quite problematic. But knowing the Celtics, they'll have another 5 first-round picks in the 5 lottery picks. So I'm sure they could replace it.
Yeah, you make a good point, mate. But final one, or we might get into more. We'll see how we go. But I put this in earlier in the week, in the fact that the Grizzlies won't win another game this season. And they proceed to win last night against the Denver freaking Nuggets. Denver are a whole nother discussion. And we've had a discussion about them, the fact that Mike Malone and Nikola Jokic, Gary Harris, all those sort of guys... The Grizzlies won't win another game this season, Nick. So they won last night, so we'll put that aside. They've got Brooklyn, Philly.
Good stuff there, Jack.
Look, leave me alone. They've still got like 10 or so games left. They've got Brooklyn, Philly, Charlotte, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Portland, Utah, Portland again, New Orleans, Sacramento, Detroit, Minnesota, and finishing in Oklahoma. Now, for me, they've only got maybe 2 winnable games there, 3. You know, the Sacramento game, the Brooklyn game, and maybe the Charlotte game. So, do you think that they can win another game this season? I mean, they're not going to want to, because for their tanking chances, which will get them in our DBS. But yeah, what do you think?
It's a hashtag alternative fact. They'll win another one. Like, you've got the Nets. No offense to your Nets.
Hey, we won against the bloody.
Hey, you guys can pull it out. I'm not saying that you can't. But yeah, the other teams you mentioned in there, Lakers again in for the tankathon, and there was one other one. I think they're versus the Suns or the Kings that you said.
The Lakers aren't taking because they don't have their own pick. They're like the Nets.
Fair point there, but the Lakers still aren't good.
No, but they've been playing very well lately.
Yes, like, but the Grizzlies just beat the Denver Nuggets, who are fighting for a playoff spot. So they will win a game. Yeah. It's not like the players themselves don't want to win. You know?
Yeah.
They will win at least one. At least one.
I mean, who got it?
Please.
Who got that win against? You got it against the Kings, the Nets, the Hornets, the Lakers?
You know what? It's probably going to come against Portland. Like of all teams, it's probably got to come against Portland. Hey, you got those two instances where you play them pretty close to each other. I reckon they can snag one.
Yeah,
Portland might have that third seed well wrapped up by that point if they continue on this win streak. So they could be they could be resting. Look at this, me with the hot takes.
Mate. You heard it.
Heard it here first.
The Grizzlies are going to beat the Blazers going into the end of the season.
It's like the third last game. It could happen.
It could definitely happen. And Nick always makes the hot takes, and he tends to be pretty on point. Mm-hmm. So now, just a quick little tidbit before we move on. The Nuggets have lost to all six of the non-playoff teams in the Western Conference since January 6th. That's just ridiculous, and that proves how shit they are.
Were they? Was that an away game? Just curious. Was their loss today an away game? Because that would make a lot of sense. If they could get up against the Grizz,
no, it was at home.
It was the Grizzlies home.
Yeah, Grizzlies at home.
Denver away. Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense. Denver cannot play away.
Yeah,
that normal altitude is killing them.
Yes, I know. We need the effed up O2 levels and CO2 levels to make them play well. But before we go to a break, Nicholas, the Lakers should re-sign Julius Randle. He's been in some hot form lately. Mm. Lakers fans, let us know your thoughts. Obviously, at JBT Nick at the JMNJBT. Let us know what you think. Slide into the DMs. We want to hear. But Nick, do you think that they should re-sign Julius Randle? They're obviously talking about trading him, get those max spots for LeBron, Paul George, yep. Marcus Cousins.
Yep.
What do you think?
Don't re-sign him. Sell high. So this is what am I rating this one? Hashtag alternative fact. They should not sign him because he's playing for a contract and someone else will offer him big money. Just don't bother keeping that on your roster. Sell high and bang.
I like it, Nick. It's using some stock market terms. Getting a very Wolf of Wall Street on me. I like it. I do agree that they should sell high on him. I'll give it Twitter because if it's the worst case scenario and he continues this form, it's not going to be that bad. But I remember coming out with a piece during the OTG trade deadline marathon out in, I think it was like January or so, that they could just do a straight up trade. I know this probably wouldn't make a lot of sense now, but for Nerlens Noel, you know, get some value, sell them to Dallas, you know, get them to chuck in a pick or something, and then get Nerlens Noel, who is sort of a buy low piece and, you know, also a clutch management guy, clutch sports guy who's, you know, LeBron connection, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm giving it Twitter because he has been in some absolutely scintillating form, including that game against the Cavaliers. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of Lakers fans would want to see him re-sign. But as we said, let us know your thoughts. But after the break, we'll see if Julius Randle made JV Team of the Week.
You're listening to Just Ball Fans. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on Dash Radio. Welcome back to Just Ball Things. Again, if you're catching us on the podcast, don't forget to hit that subscribe button on iTunes. You can catch the show every week. Or give us a rating and review. Helps us out heaps as well. All right. Without further ado, let's go to JB Team of the Week. Curry, way down to bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! A rating for the win! Yes! JB Team of the Week. Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position over the week just gone. So taking out the point guard position, Russell Westbrook earned his 100th career triple-double and 21st of the season with 32 points, 12 assists, 12 rebounds in the Thunder's 119-107 win over the Hawks. Only the Big O with 181, Magic Johnson with 138, and Jason Kidd with 107 can claim more. He got another one today, or the other day, so it's 101 for him. He also notched his 22nd triple-double in an important win over the Clippers. So good stuff there from Russell Westbrook. At the shooting guard position, James Harden continues his MVP caliber season. He had 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists, helping the Rockets win for the 21st time in 21 games. Unfortunately, that streak was ended, so that's the best streak they're going to get, beating New Orleans 107-101. Jackie boy, I'm tired of speaking. You can speak now.
Yes, I'll do the front court, which is obviously going to be LeBron James, who earned his 69th career triple-double, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, and chuck in 2 blocks and 3 steals, and which was also his 14th of the season, leading the Cavs to a 129-107 win over the Suns on Tuesday night. He had another triple-double just last night against the Bulls, 33 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, 70th career triple-double, 15th of the season. Him and Russ are just churning just out triple-doubles.
Amazing,
like no
amazing athletes.
What a season from those two. Anthony Davis at the power forward position was mind-blowingly good in his team's loss to the Jazz. He racked up a triple-double with blocks, Nick. Blocks.
It was like the closest thing I could get to a quadruple-double. It's just like, it's tickling my balls at the moment. It's just teasing me. It's close.
He craves it so much. I think we're going to have to do like an entire podcast about that performance if it ever does happen.
Break down, play
Nick
by play.
Craving it so much. 25 points, 11 rebounds, 10 blocks. Jesus freaking Christ. He also had 3 assists and 3 steals, so that wasn't too bad. He could have got a quintuple double.
Look, I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch the game. But surely it gets to a point where it's bad Jazz offense to start taking those shots.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Just stop driving. Just take threes. Yeah. You got jingles, mate. Just take threes.
Yeah, do the jingle style, jingle bells. Mm-hmm. He also posted a lazy 31 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks against the Hornets. So another huge week from Davis. The playoff race is absolutely wild out there in the West, but he's helping them solidify their playoff spot. Hopefully. Speaking of, Karl-Anthony Towns is filling in a Butler's shadow. He continued to be the difference maker Tuesday in Minnesota's 116-111 win at Washington. Sorry, Nicky boy. As he finished with a season-high 37 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. It was his second straight 30-point game and his 58th double-double, good for the most double-doubles in the league. Kat is having an incredibly successful and consistent season. Mm-hmm. So that is... JB Team of the Week for this week, ladies and gents. Now for that sweet music that Nick plays for Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performances, very much similar to JB Team of the Week. Taking out the one vote... Donovan Mitchell was instrumental in the Jazz's dominant win over the Suns. He put up 23 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, steal and a block as well. The two votes goes to Kyle Kuzma. Been a while since he's made Rookie Watch, I believe, the Kuz. He got back to some good form in a win over the Nuggets. Despite an ankle injury, he racked up 26 points. He got 24 in the second half, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal as well. But, mate, who's taking out the three votes? I think we all know.
It is our glorious Australian-American overlord in the loss to the Pacers. Ben Simmons had 10 points, 30 rebounds, and 10 assists to tie Magic Johnson for the second most triple-doubles by a rookie with his 7th of the NBA season. He then broke that record against the Knicks later in the week, posting another triple-double with 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists. He also became the third rookie to ever reach 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists in the first season. Now, I'm not sure what people think about Donovan Mitchell for Rookie of the Year, but that is incredible stat right there. That for me is more incredible than the whole triple-doubles. It shows how impactful he is on all parts of the floor.
He is amazing, and it's strange, the argument... the argument for Mitchell is that, yeah, okay, he's a shooter. Okay, well, he's a scorer. People use this term scorer. Well, Ben Simmons is a scorer. He scores buckets. He's only averaging 2 points a game less than Mitchell, that's the only thing he's got for him. That's the only thing he's got going for him. He's great defense as well, don't get me wrong. But Simmons is better at everything else.
Hence,
like, people hang a lot of crap on Simmons for not being able to shoot a three. Okay, he could do everything else on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie.
It's mind-boggling. But, Nick, do we have music for DBS? It seems like it's been a while.
It has been a while, and we do. I need a I need to dust off the DBS button. It's on a computer, so it's not dusty, but, you know, going back to the good old-fashioned things. All right, let's hit up with some DBS.
Yeah.
Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No! God, please, no! No!
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS. Okay, DBS stands for Drop, Bench, Start. So this week's DBS is inspired by the, well, the Tankathon, really, we mentioned earlier, currently happening at the bottom of each conference. So this one is going to be a little bit different. So we're essentially ranking these teams based on how good they are at losing.
Yeah.
So
we love losers.
We love losers. Yes.
As well.
I am the loser of my family. I mean, my parents tell me every day.
As am I. That's why I've been banished to London.
Exactly. He was so much of a loser that Australia didn't want him anymore.
And that's why we do a podcast together, because we are two kindred souls. But
I mean, I'm on the verge of deportation myself.
So, who are the teams that we got in this tank-inspired DBS?
The tank-inspired DBS consists of the Memphis Grizzlies, Atlanta Hawks, and the Phoenix Suns. All right. Now, this was actually surprisingly tough for me, deciding who to bench, who to actually DBS. And at this point, the Memphis Grizzlies hadn't won a game. I did this yesterday. So, damn the Memphis Grizzlies for actually winning a game against the Denver Bloody Nuggets. Oh, come on, Denver. You need to learn to win away. So I'm starting the Grizzlies. I mean, they had lost 18 straight. Their offense is bad. Their defense is, I mean, they're a joke. It's crazy the fall that they've had when they fired Fizdale. Obviously, what's his name? Don't even remember his name anymore. He's injured. Gasol's not happy.
Conley.
He's been out of the league that long. I've completely forgotten his name. I mean, who is he? Is he a player? Anyway. Yeah, I'm starting the Grizzlies. They are just so good at losing. They are, I mean, they put us to shame in terms of their loserishness.
Hey, I will put it to you, Nicholas, that the biggest losing streak in the NBA right now is the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, right now. Yeah. The Phoenix Suns have a star. They've got a future. No, they don't.
Okay, both of these teams suck. The Suns are on an 8-game losing streak. They're the team that I'm starting. But both teams that we've just been talking about are 1-9 in their past 10. So they suck a lot.
I mean, that's not good. I'm not a statistician. That's not a word.
No,
but is it?
Statistician is a word.
Oh well, Nick, there you go. I'm not good today.
We're going to start like a GoFundMe campaign for Nick to get like a dictionary or something. Let's get something going. We tried to get a
dictionary. I need to get a word of the day.
A slightly smaller goal. It'll be about, you know, what? How much are one of those mini dictionaries from like any bookstores?
Mate, I've got the internet. It's the world's biggest dictionary, and I still don't use it. I need one of those word of the day calendars. And then I can come to this podcast and be like, I learnt this word today. Yeah. It's going to be like something crazy, like onomatopoeia.
That'd be...
Oh, I don't even... I don't know how to spell that.
I feel
that
like
either.
Nick
like,
would
that'd,
be...
That'd, that'd be a challenge.
Hate Nick by that stage. Like, you would become... You used to be like... In last season, before we like, you know, our listenership grew, for those that were listening, Nick was like the stats man. That was his thing. He had his stat of the week, you know. He was the numbers man. And he's still very good with the numbers. That's some nice stats at this podcast.
I like figures.
Yes, but I would hate for you to become synonymous with something like being the word man.
We could have like a dictionary corner in this podcast. Yeah, taking a bit out of Countdown, the UK Countdown.
Yeah. But the Hawks here for me, we both dropped them. My reasoning, Nick, I'll get yours after, is because they're okay when they play well.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I mean, like that, I was Prince, exactly the same.
Dennis Schroeder,
you know, Mike Budenholzer is a very good coach. You know, he's not unproven like these interim coaches out in Phoenix and Memphis. You know, their system's okay. They're still trying to tank. Like, they'll you know, play Dennis Schroeder for a certain amount of minutes and they'll bench him. Dwayne Dedman, a lot of their, they'll play like a lot of weird lineups as well. But I think that they're too good to be bad. So as much as they're going to want that number one seed, and I've written a few articles, I think the Clutch Points and Beckett Media, you know, check them out. Just type in Jack Manuel, JACMANUELLL, and find me on Clutch Points and Beckett Media about just teams and their tanking chances and so to speak. So I've got plenty of in-depth information there. But right now, the Phoenix Suns are the favorite to get the number one pick with 25% odds. Memphis are closely behind with 19.9%. And then the Atlanta Hawks with 15.6%. These teams all suck tremendously, which is why we respect it. Who knows if anything will change in terms of tanking, but it makes for good fodder and for good bands. Nick, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I'd like to go through the rest of my picks, if you don't mind. Like, you're just cutting me off, mate.
You speak, Nicholas.
Oh, I mean, we're both dropping Atlanta. Like, they're too good. They're too hip to be square. As the song would go, like they're 23rd in defensive rating, and that's good. Like, that's not bad. The Suns are dead last, and the Suns have Jared Dudley. Like, goddamn,
you love Jared Dudley.
I do. He was a wizard.
To be fair, he's you if you're a basketball player.
He's got the dad bod. I don't like his headband. And, like, he looks weird on the court. Like, he doesn't belong on a basketball court. He looks like he should be, like, in a grill house. Like, cooking.
Waffle House.
Yeah, he looks like he's a chef. Yeah. And not a good chef, like a shit.
Yeah, a Waffle House chef.
Like a really shit chef.
Or, you reckon he could be a Subway...
a sandwich man, yeah.
Sandwich artist, Nicholas, come on.
Sandwich artist, please. Oh, God.
They are artists. The way they put on that salami and that cheese and they grill it in the toaster. Fuck, I'm going to be catching a flight soon. I always like getting Subway before my flight. Nice little meal.
I'm heading to Bali soon and I'm going to get Nando's. I don't care what time of the morning it is. I'm getting Nando's before my flight.
When are you going to Bali, mate? You haven't mentioned that to me yet.
June or July, one of them. I probably should find out. I don't want to get on the wrong flight.
Well, hopefully they have some internet coverage there. Will the season be over by then?
If I miss finals.
If you miss the finals, Nick,
no!
You need to look up the dates straight away or DM us, hit us up at jmthpodcast@gmail.com.
If anything, that might be the best time because I can watch the finals unencumbered by work or anything like that. That might actually work out all right. I'm thinking of this as a bad thing.
I think the resorts will have some nice internet coverage. I remember doing a podcast from an LA hotel once, which was fun. They always have good, you know, internet coverage. But let us know your thoughts, guys. Who do you think has the best odds to win the number one pick? Is it the Grizzlies, the Hawks, or the Suns? But Nick, spiel, me, you.
Spiel,
I'll spiel.
Yeah. Have we invented the word spiel? Now tell me that's not a word. Spiel is not a word.
Okay, I'm going to try and look up the meaning. I don't know the spell.
The spelling.
Spiel is a long or fast speech or story, typically one intended.
There you go. It is a word, but we've just bastardized
it. It's a word, but we added the sh.
The spiel.
We added some mashugana to it. Mashugana.
all right, let me spiel. Now, see, spiel just doesn't sound right anyway.
No, it's spiel. We're making it spiel.
Bradley
it's,
spiel.
It's spiel.
all right, that just about does it for another week. So we'd just like to say thank you so much for tuning in to Just Ball Things. You can catch us every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid on there. Leave us a rating and review. Helps us out heaps. We want to be the most popular podcast in the world, and that's how we do it. And trust me, I've made 10 burner accounts, and I have given a rating and review on all of them. So if I can do it 10 times, you can do it once.
Yes,
so you can contact us at the JManJBT. Is Jack, or at JBT Nick is myself on Twitter. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball. It's Off the Glass Basketball, OTG, where you can read some awesome NBA articles written by the one and only Jack Manuel and a whole bunch of other authors there as well. Heaps of other fire content on there as well. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us. You can hit us up on email where we'll read the emails on the show, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.